Ryan Whittam will open our concert in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Father, we are gathered here in Jesus' name to sing and tell the story of his love. Please bless the gifts we bring. Be with us as we sing our praise, that we may truly show all honor to the Christ our King, who came so long ago. Amen.
Come on, ring those bells. Janine Collins brings us welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to our Christmas celebration. We'll try to do our best. We feel our obligation. We hope you like our program, for we planned it all that you may have a pleasant morning while watching what we do.
Mrs. Amos and Mrs. Byers' class presents Away in a Manger. John 4:10. Recitation.
Mary and Joseph said,
"We love him, God's son."
And the shepherd said,
"Our Savior,
we love him, our
Savior."
And the angel said,
"His praises now we sing."
They will now sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Hallelujah to you, Lord Jesus, introduced by Christine Nataraja.
Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We'll now have a presentation by Ms. Metcalf's class.
C is the country where shepherds were sleeping.
H is for heavens all shining with light.
R is rejoicing because of the Savior.
I is the inn with no room that night.
S is the star that led wise men to Jesus.
T is for treasures they brought at his birth.
M is for Mary, the mother of Jesus.
A is for angels, his welcome to earth.
S is for the Savior, and that is his name.
To bring us salvation from heaven he came.
Christmas angels. Oh, sorry. Now we'll have Christmas angels, and that'll be introduced by Amanda Prashad.
A Savior has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11.
Grade 5s to 8 classes will now lead us in a poem, a Christmas poem by Beverly Ray Wearson.
Do you know why we celebrate Christmas by giving presents? We celebrate by giving gifts to family and friends to let them know how much they're loved before the year ends.
Behind this Christmas custom lies a true and simple tale of how God gave his son to us to show his love won't fail.
About 2,000 years ago, God planned he'd put on earth a savior for mankind who would, like us, arrive through birth.
His name would be called Jesus, and his destiny would be to rise up from the death on Easter morn from sin to set us free.
God chose a girl named Mary as the mother of this boy, because she dearly loved the Lord and praised him with much joy.
One day when Mary was at home, an angel dressed in white appeared to her, and Mary knelt in wonder at the sight.
This messenger sent by the Lord told Mary of God's plan to make her mother of the blessed Savior of all mankind. Then happiness filled Mary's heart, replacing all of her fear. She could not wait to let her future husband Joseph hear.
As days and months passed quickly by, dear Joseph and his wife prepared and waited patiently for God to give his son life.
Then one day, Joseph hurried home to tell the latest news. All the people had to pay a tax, and they could not refuse.
So Mary packed and off they went to Joseph's family town. She rode upon a donkey's back from sunrise to sundown. They entered busy Bethlehem amid the dust and noise. The streets were very crowded with men, women, girls, and boys.
All kinds of things filled the bazaars piled high on tabletops. They were much too tired to look as they passed by the shops.
They went from inn to try to find a place to stay, but all the places were filled up with people who could pay.
But finally they found an inn whose owner said he had a place where they could spend the night. Oh, they were both so glad.
So the owner led the couple to a stable out on back. The animals watched Joseph while he started to unpack.
First, Joseph turned a manger filled with hay into a bed so Jesus could stay nice and warm and lay his sleepy head.
Then Mary, on that holy night, gave birth to God's own son. This tiny babe would be the Prince of Peace for everyone.
At the same time, outside the town, some shepherds tended the sheep, while others watched one played a flute and lulled his lamb to sleep.
An angel came and said, "I bring good tidings of great joy. Jesus Christ our Lord is here, a newborn baby boy."
Then at once a heavenly host of angels filled the sky. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth rang out their cry.
The shepherds stood in wonder as the angel choir left them. They started out to see the Son of God in Bethlehem.
Three wise men, knowing of the birth, had traveled very far. To guide them to the child, they used a brightly shining star.
Inside the tiny stable, all these people gathered around. To honor Jesus Christ the Lord, they knelt down on the ground.
Then each presented Jesus with the priceless gift of love and humble thankfulness for this best gift of God above.
So now you know why we give gifts to celebrate Christmas, to show our love as God with Jesus showed his love for us.
On Christmas Day, besides the gifts you give to mom and dad, your brothers, sisters, even pets and friends to make them glad.
Do not forget the holy child who in the manger lay. Your gift can be remembering on his first birthday.
The best present of all will be introduced by Jamie Dempster.
Thanks for God for your amazing gift.
Melanie Abernathy now shares her voice with us.
I love to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, my King, to thank him for his special gift of love. God gave to me was the gift of his own son. Now that's what Christmas means to me. Christmas is Jesus, he's alive, he lives today. Christmas is Jesus, he's the truth, the life, he is the way. Christmas is Jesus, how I love to shout and sing. At Christmas time and all year round, singing praises to my King. At Christmas time and all year round, singing praises to my King. Now some kids just don't really know what Christmas is about. They think it's only toys and Christmas trees. But Jesus came to give his life, the greatest gift of all. Now Well, that's what Christmas means to me. Christmas is Jesus. He's alive, he lives today. Christmas is Jesus. He's the truth and life, he is the way. Christmas is Jesus. How I love to shout and sing at Christmas time and all year round, singing praises to my King. At Christmas time and all year round, singing praises to my King.
Thanks, Melanie. That's a great message that we should all listen to. Next, we'll start with Mrs. Cafferty's and Mrs. Lougheed's class. They will start with a poem, Gifts to the King.
We have no gifts of gold to bring upon the birthday of the King. What do you think a child should bring that would be pleasing to the King?
I have two hands I'll gladly bring to the service of the King.
I have two feet which he may use in whichever way that he may choose.
I have two eyes that which to see each chance to serve him loyally.
I have a tongue as up to town how he do with all things well.
I have a heart full to the brim with tender thoughts and love for him.
Oh, we're so glad we found a way to bring him gifts on Christmas Day. We're also sure that we may, too, bring all these gifts the whole year through.
I'll give my heart, followed by Into My Heart, Lord Jesus. I'm going to make a small change. Bernice will kill me probably just before we ask Elizabeth to speak. I'd just like all the Sunday school teachers to stand up at this time. They've worked really hard. Stand up. They've worked really, really hard to put this together. And before Bernice sits down, she has really, really done a great job. Thank you, Bernice. And, of course, none of this would have been possible without the parents who bring the kids. And the kids, you did a wonderful job today. Thank you all very much. Now Elizabeth will close in prayer. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, our gift for you is love. Please take our gift today. We'll prove our love in all we do by following your way. Amen.
We will now close with Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Now's our chance to respond. And let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 170, Joy to the World. And we'll see if, as a congregation, we can match the singing of our Sunday school. Let's all stand together and sing. Grade 4 for junior church, they can come forward right now, and I think Pastor Blaine's going to lead them in prayer.
I think they've maybe exited. Oh, maybe not. Come on up, guys. I've gotten that response before, but it's usually females. We have just a couple of announcements that we want to bring to your attention at this time before we proceed any further. And if the children haven't gone downstairs, they can just go directly downstairs. And there is a program down there. The junior church is continuing on this morning. And he's having second thoughts. We want to encourage you to take a look in your mailboxes. We've noticed that there are a number of people that haven't picked up mail in the last couple of weeks, and there has been a great deal of things that have been placed in your mailboxes. So please check on the way out. There are a number of things. And then from the cantata, we do want to encourage you to remember that it's next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The times are 7 o'clock in terms of our open opportunities. There is a group reservation only time, a matinee on Saturday at 3 o'clock, but that's for group reservations only. So please invite your friends for the other opportunities this coming Saturday and Sunday, and then also the following Saturday and Sunday. And also for the cantata, there is a full dress rehearsal this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and the choir is asked to be here at 6:30 for extra rehearsal. So please keep that in mind as well. We want to invite you back tonight. Pastor Thurton will be speaking, and we also have a child dedication with the Zach family, and so we want to encourage you to be participants tonight. And we have one other announcement. I'm going to call upon Marg Murphy at this time. There is an opportunity that you will note in your mailbox, and Marg will give you further details about that.
After listening to that beautiful concert, I'm going home to learn my lines for the Christmas cantata. Yes, wasn't it beautiful to watch these young people up here today? And you know, just as we have dreams for our children, there are people in countries all over the world who have dreams for their kids too. Many of them know that their dreams will probably not come true. And I feel this is a wonderful time that we might offer something, some ray of hope to these people all over the world. You will have received in your mailbox today an envelope from Partners International, Harvest of Hope. You will receive in the envelope a catalog. It gives you an opportunity to purchase something to another country. And I would urge you, in fact, I would beg you, just as many of these people have to beg, I beg you to dig into your pockets. There are many things that you can purchase by giving money. A mini library for a Chinese pastor, $43. A goat for an undernourished country, $65. There was something even in the catalog for $5. Something for $1,000. Whatever you feel you are able to give. An envelope also comes in that package. And I would ask that you do what you can to help these people through Partners International. Harvest of Hope. Thank you.
At this time, we're going to take up the offering. I'd ask the ushers to come forward and we'll have prayer. Lord, we thank you for the message that was presented to us this morning by our Sunday school, the message of Christ being God's perfect gift to us at Christmas, and the message, the gospel, that he came and lived among us, walked among us, he died and he rose again, and he dwells in heaven even today. He died for our sins. Lord, we thank you for that great gift, and Lord, as we present our gifts back to you, we would pray that they would be used wisely, in a good steward way, and that your kingdom would be furthered through our gifts. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
In the Old Testament, Isaiah foretold,
"Behold, a virgin shall conceive,
and bear a son,
and shall be called
Emmanuel, God with us." Isaiah 7:14.
For unto us a child is born,
unto us a son is given,
and the government shall be upon his shoulders.
And his name shall be called
Wonderful, Counselor,
the Mighty God,
the Everlasting Father,
the Prince of Peace.
Isaiah 9:6.
His name shall be called Wonderful, the Savior from above.
The wonder of his coming is a miracle of love.
His name shall be called Counselor, the always guiding me before the throne of heaven, for me he intercedes.
His name shall be called Mighty God, who rules in power and might. I worship and adore him, my God, Lord of life.
He shall be called the Everlasting Father. He watches over me, keep my feet from evil, and gives me victory.
His name shall be called the Prince of Peace, who gives me inner rest.
A peace that passes knowledge, no matter what the test.
His name above all others shall stand in kingdom's fall.
From time into eternity, his name is over all.
Who shall come? Who shall come in the fullness of time to gladden the hearts of men? Who shall bring new joy to the world and the poor and the lonely defend? Who shall come on a cold winter's night when the world is hushed and still? Only the silent stars keep watch as the promise is fulfilled. Just as a child newly born, he shall come to a stable rough with sod. 'Tis gentle Jesus, Prince of Peace, the blessed Son of God. We await him with reverent hearts. O come, Lord Jesus, come. Who shall come?
In our adult elective, we are studying the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew often quotes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. When the junior highs were speaking from Isaiah, those words were stated some 700 to 800 years before Jesus was born upon the face of this earth. In Matthew chapter 1 and 23, we read, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," being interpreted, "God with us." Matthew states that this child, Jesus, was born king. King of the Jews. And in Revelation, we see that Jesus is giving the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Shortly after the birth of the babe, wise men from the east came and presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, that gift that is worthy of a king. Frankincense, representing the gift for Jesus' priestly ministry, and myrrh, the gift that foreshadows Christ's future death. Christmas is a time for families. Christmas is a time for giving gifts. But most of all, Christmas is a time to celebrate and to worship Jesus, our King.
Mary responded, "Oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and now, generation after generation, we will call him blessed, for he, the Mighty One, is holy, and he has done great things for me. His mercy goes on from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm does tremendous things, how he scatters the proud and haughty ones. He has taken princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. And how he has helped his servant Israel. He has not forgotten his promise to be merciful."
In his book, The Jesus I Never Knew, Philip Yancey challenges us. He doesn't allow us to be superficial in our faith and to ignore some really, really deep issues. He does not allow us to be complacent. Our stack of Christmas cards can indicate that we who live in Christian countries can observe a mellow, domesticated holiday purged of any hint of violence or scandal. Above all, we can purge from it any reminder how the story that began at Bethlehem turned out at Calvary. In the birth stories of Luke and Matthew, only one person seems to grasp the mysterious nature of what God has set in motion. The old man Simeon, who recognized the baby as the Messiah, instinctively understood that conflict would surely follow. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. He said, and then made the prediction, that a sword would pierce Mary's own soul. Somehow Simeon sensed that, though on the surface little had changed, the autocrat Herod still ruled, Roman troops were still stringing up patriots, Jerusalem still overflowed with beggars. But underneath, everything had changed. A new force had arrived to undermine the world's powers. In an obscure corner of Augustine's empire, the birth of a baby named Jesus was overlooked by the chroniclers of the day. We know about him mainly through four books written years after his death, at a time when less than one half of 1% of the Roman world had ever heard of him. Jesus's biographers would also borrow the word gospel, proclaiming a different kind of new world order altogether. They would mention Augustus only once, a passing reference to set the date of a census that ensured Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. From beginning to end, the conflict between Rome and Jesus appeared to be entirely one-sided. The execution of Jesus would put an apparent end to any threat, or so it was assumed at the time. Tyranny would win again. It occurred to no one that his stubborn followers just might outlast the Roman Empire.
I guess the question that would confront many of us as we've been watching this morning and as we've been thinking about what has just been read is if I wanted to communicate my power or my authority, how would I do that? Well, it wouldn't do to write a card. It wouldn't do to write a letter. What God chose to do was to send his own son in human flesh. And when we think about communication, the best thing that we can possibly have is precisely that, the person themselves. But in recent days, probably many of us have been fascinated by the world in which we live and the information age in which we live in, and some of the battles that seem to be heating up. And it goes back probably about 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, when there was a battle for telephone business. And you think about how Bell Telephone seemed to have a monopoly on that particular industry. And then along came some young upstarts in the people or the organizations of Sprint and Unitel and so on, and a number of other now defunct businesses that sought to at least gain a small piece of the pie. And they weren't very successful, or very few of them were successful at gaining any opportunity at all. And, of course, that's been somewhat beneficial to us as consumers, because we now have termed the phrase the 10-cent minute because of some of the competition that has transpired, or the $20 month, where now if you want to communicate with other people that you're not able to communicate with face-to-face, you can get on the telephone, and the cap is $20. You don't have to worry about ever paying more than that for your long-distance calls. But we're a people, we're a society that is very focused upon communication. And we have seen other battles develop as well. If at first it was the telephone lines, then certainly we've seen in more recent days that more and more people are carrying those annoying little walkie-talkies they call cell phones, and they seem to go off at the most inopportune times. But there has been an increasing desire for different organizations, different businesses to try and gain a piece of the puzzle there, or a piece of the pie, rather. And so we have battles that are heating up between Bell Mobile and Mike and Cantel and a number of other organizations seeking to gain your communication dollar, all of which are aimed at trying to show you that they have the better way for you to communicate. And then, of course, most recently in our technological Star Wars, we have the development of a battle that exists even in the in terms of the internet. And it used to be that you had Simpatico and America Online and so on to try and establish a share of the market. But now you even have Rogers Cable TV telling you that they have a much better way than just your fiber optic telephone line, that you can actually use the cable system, and ultimately it will provide a better opportunity for you to be hooked up to the internet. Perhaps better said, at your desire to communicate with one another. And one has to wonder, once Rogers Cable TV have gotten involved, how long it will be, and some of you are probably in the industry and could tell us this morning, how long it will be until we are equipped in our homes with, or the majority of people are equipped with the opportunity for both audio and visual or video link up, so that you can actually see and you can experience the world in which that person that you are communicating with is living in. Communication and the desire for it and the need for it and the pursuit of it seems to be something, at least in our society, that is in highest demand. It seems to almost make the world go round right now, and you can actually sit with your cell phone here in the congregation and or up in, I was going to say Slowville, the youth have taught me to say Slowville, and it's Stowville. And I live there, so I can say that. Or Markham, and you can communicate by ricocheting off a number of satellites, communicate with somebody who's sitting in Beijing. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's fascinating as well that we have this tremendous desire for communication. Now, believe it or not, the desire for communication existed long before our information age, long before the battle for a share of the communications industry. And what we have seen this morning, and what we heard just a moment ago as Brian talked about Simeon, is an example of that desire. 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, there was an elderly man who was prompted by the Spirit of God to go to the temple in Jerusalem and to see and to experience God's communication to man. Now, up until that particular day and age, we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, that God had spoken to our forefathers. We as Gentiles, non-Jewish people, can actually say that now because of what Jesus has done. Spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of God. You see, 2,000 years ago, a new information age dawned. 2,000 years ago, there was a dramatic unveiling, if you will, in the field of communication. God desired that mankind and humanity would know who he was and what he expected of them. And as a result, his own Son came to be born in a manger not unlike the one that you see here in front of you, in a little place called Bethlehem, a place that didn't have the best reputation in the world. And what you saw presented to you this morning by our children and by our adults as well is the fact, as Melanie sang earlier, that Jesus is really the focus of Christmas. Now, we've lost that, unfortunately, in communicating Christmas in our society. Oftentimes, the very essence of Christmas is lost. 2,000 years ago, though, as Simeon took that baby in his arms, and I'm just going to read that passage for you just very briefly. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, and moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." What was it that God communicated to Simeon as he took that little baby in his arms? Well, I believe that what God was saying to Simeon and what he was saying to us and what has been recorded now on the pages of Scripture for eternity is that that God does not any longer want to be misunderstood. The prophets were despised because of what they would say about God. God said, I will show you who I am through a dramatic unveiling, through a communication that you in no way can misunderstand. Now, we run the risk at being misunderstood, don't we? And as pastors, we can say we've been misunderstood and criticized at different times because of things that maybe were a little bit misunderstood. And I'm sure that you could probably say the same. And in fact, I think of just one example in our own family. On Friday night, we happened to drive into a Tim Hortons, and we don't do that with regularity, so don't jump to any conclusions. But we drove into a Tim Hortons, and one of my sons said, Dad, look, you can smoke in there for free. Now, that isn't at all what the smoke-free sign meant, but God did not want to be misunderstood, and so he provided a means of communication whereby he could not be misunderstood, and we have that recorded in the Gospels. And we have that recorded, although you don't see it in this particular passage with Simeon, what he does is focus upon the name of Jesus. As we think about the names that were recited here earlier, God with us, Emmanuel, literally means God with us. Jesus, Jehovah's salvation, or God's salvation expressed to us. And so as Simeon clutched that baby to his breast, he knew that what he was holding was nothing less than God with us. He was holding nothing less than the salvation of the world. And you know, a lot of us can enter into that joy that he experienced because we have taken a hold of Jesus in the same fashion, not physically, but spiritually. We have been able to experience the joy that brings. And there are probably some here this morning that have never done that. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about what was presented here through the lives of little children, what was presented through the adult classes as they talked about the Jesus that some have never known. And think for a moment about what Simeon's testimony was truly all about, because there's a lot about a name. A lot can be said in a name. And, of course, my name is a Scottish name, Blaine, and it means thin or lean. And I didn't think that was that funny, but some of you did. Sometimes you can't judge a person by his name. That's true enough. In fact, the district superintendent at a meeting yesterday told us a story about I'm getting a little off topic here. I hope you'll forgive me, but he was telling us a story about a missionary lady who happened to go out into the field about 30 or 40 years ago, and she wasn't fully aware of all the customs that were involved in this particular area that she went to, and it was customary to always name the child based upon the first phrase out of the child's mouth, and nobody had stopped and taken the time to tell this lady that. She began a mission school, or went into the mission school, and the children gathered together, and they sat down. She had written some things on the chalkboard, and she decided she'd get off on the right foot. And after the opening exercises, she said to each of the children, what I want you to do is, when I point to you, stand up and tell me your name, and then read one of those phrases off of the chalkboard. She pointed to one little girl, who was about 10 years old. Little girl stood up and said, my name is Wagon Wheel, and the teacher stopped her immediately. And she said to the little girl, no, you don't understand. What I would like to hear is your actual name, your real name. And so the little girl thought for a moment, and she said again, my name is Wagon Wheel, and she stopped her again. She said, no, dear, I mean your Christian name. What were you called when you were born, and what do your parents call you? She started again, my name is Wagon Wheel. And she said, this time the teacher was very upset, and she said, I'm going to say it one more time, and if you don't respond appropriately, I'm going to have to ask you to leave and don't come back until tomorrow. And, she thought for a few moments, and she started again, my name is Wagon Wheel. And the teacher said, that's it, out you go, you'll have to wait until tomorrow to come back to class. And so this little girl of about 10 years of age stood up, and As she started to walk out, she motioned to her little 7-year-old brother, and she said, "You better come with me." If she didn't believe me, she's certainly not going to believe you, cow dung. Now, if you have a problem with that, that was a district superintendent that told me. So, there is a lot, though, that is communicated in a person's name. And Simeon is expressing here in this passage the content of Jesus' person. When he talks about Jesus as the salvation of the world, the salvation, he is talking about the very nature of who Jesus is and the role that he came to accomplish. And I want to encourage you today, some of you have probably or would probably fit into the category of some of the Jewish people, and we're going to skim over things very quickly here as we close. I want you to notice two things in his testimony. And the first is this, that Jesus is seen as the light for revelation to the Gentiles. Previously, the Gentiles had no knowledge or very little knowledge of who God was. And yet God broke down that barrier and he said, Jesus is for all men. And as we read the New Testament, you will see that no longer is God's order one that involves only the elect nation of Israel, but it involves each and every one of us, not on the basis of our national heritage, but on the basis of our individual response. And so perhaps this morning you haven't been searching for God. Perhaps this morning you're not the type of individual who has been actively in pursuit of knowing something greater than yourself, but perhaps this morning as you've been watching the Christmas concert presented by our young people, you've thought to yourself, there is something that I'm missing in my life. I haven't been looking for it, but this morning I realize that there's something there that I hadn't really thought to investigate. And perhaps you would fit into that category. And perhaps God is saying to you this morning, I'm a light for you. To those who know nothing about me, investigate who Jesus is. So that when you celebrate Christmas, it's not just a baby that we lay in the manger for a period of 2 or 3 weeks, and then it's simply forgotten about. He's simply forgotten about. Jesus is salvation, Jehovah's salvation, the salvation of God. And for some of you, you would probably fit into the second category that he draws attention to, and that is, he says, that this same little baby is the glory of his people Israel. For those who had listened to the prophets and long expected that in some miraculous way God would intervene in their lives, their hope was realized. And perhaps some of you are in that same category this morning, that you have been looking and you have been searching and you have been coming into dead end after dead end. You've looked for meaning in life through your career. You've looked for significance and meaning in life through your family and through your friends. You've looked for meaning in life through the pursuit of financial gain or leisure activities. But there's no meaning. And perhaps you've been waiting and listening and pondering and asking God to in some way reveal himself, and this morning through the words and through the actions, through the songs of these little children, God is saying the thing that you've been looking for, the thing that you've been expecting, the person that you've been wanting to know is before you in the person of Jesus as he lay in the manger in Bethlehem, as he lay stretched out on the cross of Calvary, and as he is now resurrected and exalted to the right hand of God. As we leave this morning, I want to encourage you to consider the testimony of Simeon. There's a lot in a name. Jesus is, in fact, God's salvation. And he is opening his arms and extending his love and mercy to you this morning. And if you've never accepted it, I want to encourage you to consider it. Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the fact that Jesus is far more than just a little baby that we celebrate at Christmas time. He is the Savior of the world who came to give his life an atonement for our sins. While we were yet sinners, while we were still mired down in the mud and the dirt of life, involved in things that perhaps we would never want other people to know about, Jesus gave his life for us and left the riches and the glory of heaven in order that he might come to earth to be humbled, to be born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, and then to die a terrible death upon a cross, but all that in order that we might know the glorious hope of living eternally with you,
living eternally with our Savior. And we pray that if there are some here this morning that have never accepted the free gift that is offered to them through the baby of Bethlehem, that they would do that this morning or in days ahead, and that they would know the tremendous joy that comes when we celebrate Christmas with Christ as our Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Throughout history, bells were commonly used to herald good news. And so in our hymn book, we have number 190. We'll sing together, Ring the Bells. Let's all stand together and sing.
To invite every one of you to come downstairs, and the teachers, as you know, are identified by red carnations. Greet them, and if you'd like to see the rooms or talk to them about curriculum, you're welcome to do that as you're having refreshments. Thank you.
Blessed Christmas to you, the young and the gray. God guard you and guide you in his perfect way.
Blessed Christmas to you, the lonely and the sad. Remember Christ came to make us all people glad.
A blessed Christmas to you, the ones we hold dear. God bless you and keep you and stay very near.
Blessed Christmas to you, our neighbors and friends, as wider and wider this circle extends.
Blessed Christmas to you, the stranger within. May true understanding and friendship begin.
Blessed Christmas to you, blessed Christmas tonight, and deep in each heart may the stars shine bright.
Blessed Christmas to you, everyone, everywhere, peace on earth and goodwill, this be our prayer.